named Patiloka. Thereafter, the Brahmana's younger wife, after entrusting her twin children, the boy and girl, to the elder wife, departed for the Patiloka, voluntarily dying with her husband. So there is no purport for this verse. We are going to the next text, number 8. After the father died, the 9 stepbrothers of Jadabharat, who considered Jadabharat dull and brainless, abandoned the father's attempt to give Jadabharat a complete education. The stepbrothers of Jadabharat were learned in the 3 Vedas, the Rig Veda, Sama Veda and Yajur Veda, which are very much encouraged fruitier activity. The 9 brothers were not at all spiritually enlightened in devotional service to the Lord. Consequently, they could not understand the highly exalted position of Jadabharat. Text 9 to 10. Translation. Degraded men are actually no better than animals. The only difference is that animals have 4 legs and such men have only 2. These 2-legged animalistic men used to call Jadabharat mad, dull, deaf and dumb. They mistreated him and Jadabharat behaved for them like a madman who was deaf, blind or dull. He did not protest or try to convince them that he was not so. If others wanted him to do something, he acted according to their desires. Whatever food he could acquire by begging or by wages, and whatever came of its own accord, be it small a quantity, palatable, stale or tasteless, he would accept it and eat. He never ate anything for sense gratification because he was already liberated from the bodily conception, which induces one to accept palatable or unpalatable food. He was full in the transcendental consciousness of devotional service, and therefore he was unaffected by the dualities arising from the bodily conception. Actually, his body was as strong as bulls, and his limbs were very muscular. He didn't care for winter or summer, wind or rain, and he never covered his body at any time. He lay on the ground and never smeared oil on his body or took a bath. Because his body was dirty, his spiritual effulgence and knowledge were covered, just as the splendor of a valuable gem is covered by dirt. He only wore a dirty loincloth and his sacred thread, which was blackish. Understanding that he was born in a Brahmana family, people would call him a Brahmana Bandhu and other names. Being thus insulted and neglected by materialistic people, he wandered here and there. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Deha Smriti Nahi Yara Samsara Bandhana Kahan Tara. One who has no desire to maintain the body or who is not anxious to keep the body in order and who is satisfied in any condition must be either mad or liberated. Actually, Bharat Maharaj in his birth as Jadabharat was completely liberated from the material dualities. He was a Paramahamsa and therefore did not care for any bodily comfort. We are reading from the 9th chapter of 5th Canto, where the supreme character of Jadabharat is discussed. So in that particular verse, it's mentioning how the common people are treating Jadabharat, even though he is highly elevated soul. People are just calling him mad, treating him like that mad, and he is also behaving like that. It is mentioned in that here that he did not protest or try to convince them that he was not so. So this is one of the qualities of the devotee, that even if somebody insult him or do anything wrong with him, even if the devotee is right, he never tries to convince the other person, especially these materialistic people. So we can see in many other cases also, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, Sukadeva Goswami, he was also a liberated soul. And so he was also never concerned with all these things. In the first canto, we can see that when Maharaj Parikshit was waiting for his death, all the saints or sages were assembled there. So when the description is given, when how Sukadeva Goswami was approaching there, so he was surrounded by children and women, and they were just making fun of him, and he was not retaliating with anyone of them. But the sages and all the assembled Vaishnavas, they can easily understand that who is Sukadeva Goswami. And when they offered the seat of Vyasasan for Sukadeva Goswami, then only the children and women understood, oh, he is not a madman. He is an elevated person. So they became afraid and they stopped following him. So it is said in the Shastras that you cannot judge a devotee by his external behavior. Or no one can understand the activities of a pure devotee unless he is also in that level of a pure devotee. So in first canto, where Maharaj Parikshit pastimes, we can see a nice episode where Shamik Rishi is explaining this quality of devotee. Means even though people insult or rebuke them, they never retaliate. The scene is that Sringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit, and later Shamik Rishi came to know about that. So he was just contemplating on that, means what my son, foolish son, has done. So he was thinking of the quality of the devotee, that he never retaliated. So usually by the Vaishnava etiquette or the Vedic scriptures, that even if somebody curses somebody and the other person counter curses, the reactions can be to a certain limit, we can nullify that reaction. But Shamik Rishi is worried about his son in this case, because Maharaj Parikshit is a devotee of the Lord. And devotees in such cases, they never retaliate. They are in a highly elevated stage. They doesn't come to the worldly concept like cursing and counter cursing, all those things. See, sometimes it is given the analogy that devotees are like Garuda, means flying very high in the sky. So he never comes down to the level of flies or small birds to compete with them. So even if they sometimes seem to be like that. So Shamik Rishi is quoting this shloka. Tiraskrita vipralabdha shapta kshipta hatapi nasitat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhobhi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never intended to avenge themselves. So Shamik Rishi was worried because of this, that a pure devotee is never ready to counteract. He just accepts whatever comes on him is the mercy of the Lord for his purification, and he simply accepts it. So we can see different examples for this. There are five cases is explained Shamik Rishi. Tiraskrita means defamed, and vipralapta means cheated, shapta has been cursed, kshipta means defamed, hatapi even attacked or killed, so they had never retaliated. So the first thing, tiraskrita, so devotees never try to defend themselves for their own sake, means if they are personally defamed. But whenever devotees, means the Lord or the other devotees are defamed, so they don't keep quiet, so then they retaliate. So for themselves, for personal benefit, they never do defend. They never try to convince anybody that you are wrong, I am right. So in this case of Maharaj Parikshit, he has all the valid points that he was not wrong. He can easily counter curse, and he was also so powerful that he can even curse anybody. Means he was coming from the family of Kuru dynasty and is a devotee of Krishna. So this one example we can see from the Bhagavatam itself is Daksha, Prajapati and Yajna. So in the when Daksha Prajapati was entering the arena of Yajna, so everyone stood up for welcoming him, except two people, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And Lord Brahma was his father himself, so nobody, doesn't take it very seriously. But when he saw Lord Shiva is not get up from his seat to welcome him, he became so furious. He was angry. And the first thing, even though it was a auspicious event to take place, the Yajna, everyone was in a good mood, means some now good activity is going to happen. But just by simply the act of Lord Shiva, Daksha was so disturbed The first thing, he started blaspheming Lord Shiva like anything. He was insulting, his eyes are like monkeys, and even my daughter is like a lotus-eyed one. And because of this Paramesh, he even doesn't call Brahma his father because of that anger mode. He says, this creator told me to give him this daughter. So he is my son-in-law, he is supposed to respect me. He says, started blaspheming left and right, so many abusive words and other things. And he started saying like Shiva sleeps in the crematorium and he doesn't take bath. Who is his associate? Only ghostly people and madmen are his, drunkards are his associates. So he like so many abusive words he says, but Lord Shiva even doesn't spoke any words against him. But Nandishwar and other people, they cannot tolerate that. They started counter cursing all the Brahmanas there. Then again Bhrigumuni, from taking side of Daksha, again he started cursing. So this went on. So Lord Shiva got up from the assembly and he just went off. So even though we know who is Lord Shiva, he is the destroyer. Even he doesn't have to do anything personally. Even if he just opens his third eye, the entire thing will be destroyed. Even by his dances, all the universes are destroyed. Here just Daksha is insulting him personally, so he never tried to retaliate, even though he was so powerful. It's mentioned that Bhakta Prabhu Obihi, the devotees are very powerful. Still he didn't try to retaliate with him. Another case we can see where devotees are insulted is from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, where Srivas Thakur were insulted by Gopal Chapala, means putting the Kali's worshipping paraphernalia in front of his house. So in that time in Bengal, there were Vaishnavas and Brahmins were worshipping Vaishnavas, and other some degraded people, means those who are eating meat and drunkards, they used to worship Bhavani. So they are supposed to is considered as the inferior. So the Smatha Brahmanas were not able to tolerate Srivas Thakur's activities and other things. So they were so envious against him that Gopal Chapal tried to defame him. So one day in the night, he put all the paraphernalia of Kali Puja in front of his door. In the morning when Srivas Thakur opened the door and he saw this, so he called everyone and showed that, see this, what I am doing in the night, I am doing Kali worship only. But the other people couldn't believe that. So they called a broom and they cleaned that place. So, but the effect of this, within 3 days, Gopal Chapal got leprosy. And it was so severe pain and the insects were biting him. So finally he has to leave the village and he has to leave alone. Even there he met Lord Chaitanya and he asked for forgiveness. Lord became very angry upon him. So he told, you are offender against my devotees. He doesn't consider him at all. But later when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and in Kulyagram, there he told, you are so merciful, and he told Gopal Chapal that, okay, you offended Srivas Thakur. You have to go and beg forgiveness from him. If he agrees, then you will be liberated. So here again we can see that even the devotee himself doesn't do anything, but when the devotees are insulted, Lord, he doesn't wait for anybody else. It means the devotee to pray for him to act accordingly. He himself gives them the sufficient punishment. So another example we can see is the Rupa Goswamis and Rupa Narayan. When Rupa Narayan was coming to Vrindavan to defeat Rupa Goswami, so when Rupa Narayan approached Rupa Goswami, he asked, what do you want? And he told, I heard that you are a big scholar and I have this Vijay Patra. I wanted to debate with you and defeat you. So Rupa Goswami told that in no need of a debate, you give me the Vijay Patra, I can accept your defeat. So Rupa Goswami accepted it. He never tried to defend, means even though he was a big scholar. But later we can see that Jiva Goswami even defeated that Rupa Narayan. And even Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we can see that Ramachandra Puri was trying to insult many times, like invited him for prasad and feed him more and more, and finally he told, see how much you are eating. A sannyasi is not supposed to eat so much. And sometimes he comes to Lord Chaitanya's room and sees ants here, and he sarcastically says that, oh, you are eating sweets when nobody is there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it as the advice, because he was his spiritual master's god brother. He took it as instruction of spiritual master only. He never tried to retaliate in that. So the second point is vipralabdha. When devotees are cheated, they never try to retaliate. So this is the example everyone knows, that in Pandava's case, how they were cheated. So by doing the gambling match, by the help of Shaguni, Duryodhana cheated all the Pandavas and sent them to forest for exile. So Duryodhana was not satisfied with that. Even though he got the kingdom and everything, so he was not peaceful at mind. He was so envious that he wanted to show his all the opulences, and because he know that in the forest there is nothing, they will be suffering. So he wanted to see and how they are suffering, and they want to aggravate that by showing his royal opulences and to get pleasure in that. So Duryodhana took all his royal appearances and went to the forest. But on the way, he saw a lake and wanted to take bath in that. But already one Gandharva was doing his bathing and other things there. So Chitradatta was there. So Duryodhana, when approached the lake, Chitradatta told that, see, who are you? You cannot do anything here. I am taking my bath here. So Duryodhana told, who are you? I am Duryodhana, the king of Hastinapur, and I have all my army is with me. If you want escape, you can escape. He given the warning like this to the Gandharva. So Chitradatta easily attacked all the armies, and he took Duryodhana, he bound Duryodhana and kept there in his custody. So all the other ministers and other armed soldiers bewildered what to do, means they cannot do anything with the Gandharva. So they know that Pandavas were somewhere around, and they searched for them and met Yudhishthira Maharaj and pleaded with him that your brother, cousin brother Duryodhana, was under arrest of a Gandharva. Please rescue him. So Bhima was also there. Then he was laughing and telling that, yeah, it's very nice. What we cannot do, that at least he has done it. So we should be happy about that. But Yudhishthira was telling him that, so even though amongst us, the brothers, there may be so many problems, but whenever somebody attacks from outside, we are 100+5, not 105. Then he told Arjuna, you go and rescue Duryodhana. So the Arjuna goes and defeat Chitradatta. By seeing itself, Arjuna, the Chitradatta, just for a few minutes, just fight, by he seeing Kshatriya power, he accepted and tells Arjuna that whatever you want, I am ready to do that. Then he tells, free Duryodhana. So here we can see that how magnanimous Yudhishthira Maharaj was. Again, in this same Yudhishthira Maharaj's case, when the all Mahabharata war was almost complete, only Duryodhana was left and he was hiding in a lake. So all the Pandavas goes there and Yudhishthira Maharaj calls out, Duryodhana, you come out for fighting. So when Duryodhana comes out, Yudhishthira Maharaj tells that, see, we know that you don't have any army or anything. So you are alone. So you can choose one amongst us for fighting. So all others are shocked. Means, so we have fought so much for the kingdom, and finally when the climax came, you are giving such an offer. But it stated that even so, Duryodhana was not a low class Kshatriya. He was also first class. He at least chose Bhima for fighting. So here we can see how magnanimous Yudhishthira Maharaj was. Even though so much of suffering he got from Duryodhana, still he was merciful to him. So the third point is Shapta. Yes, even the devotees are cursed, they never retaliate. So one incident we can think of is from the 10th canto, Shaubari Rishi's case. Shaubari Rishi was doing his austerities and meditation in a lake where Garuda used to come there for taking fish. So once these leaders of the fish approached Shabari Rishi and told that you are doing austerities here, you are also a part of the lake, so you are like a brother for us. So this Garuda is every day coming and killing one of our fishes. So why don't you protect us? So when next day Garuda came, Shabari Rishi cursed him without understanding who Garuda is, what is his position, and what is the position of himself. He is a conditioned soul, where Garuda is a liberated, he is the vehicle of Lord Vishnu himself. So Shabari Rishi cursed him that if you come anymore here, you will suffer for that. So what is the consequence of that? Means later Shabari Rishi himself fall down from the path of that austerities. Even though he was a mystic yogi, just by seeing two fishes mating, he fall down from this position. And what happened to the fishes? Earlier Garuda was at least taking only one by one the fishes. Then later when Kaliya came there, because of his poisonous, all the fishes were killed immediately. So Prabhupada says this is the consequence of a Vaishnava Abharat. Whoever may be, even though you may directly not involved, but even if you are part of it, you will have to suffer severely for that. The fourth point is Kshipta, is even neglected. So if you want to punish or destroy somebody, there are two ways. When you get angry at somebody or not happy with somebody, one way is you can directly blaspheme or get angry or be some physical with him. That is one way. Another thing is emotionally blackmailing, like just neglecting him. The second one is more severe, people. Sometimes even we can feel that somebody is angry with us. If this speaks out, it is okay. Then after some time, it goes off. But even if it doesn't speak anything, then it will be more painful for us. So here we can see the Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. After Rupa Narayan comes out from Rupa Goswami's place, so that time Jiva Goswami was coming. So he saw Rupa Narayan. So he asked, he told Rupa Narayan, he defeated Rupa Goswami. So Jiva Goswami tells, I can't believe that. So I am his disciple, I can defeat you easily. So Jiva Goswami defeats Rupa Narayan. But when Rupa Goswami comes to know about this, so he becomes so angry that he abandoned Jiva Goswami. But so sometimes even this happens with many of devotees, even because of misunderstanding. Even though we are trying to please some devotees, but when they cannot, they cannot understand, when the misunderstanding comes, so it will be very, very painful. We are sincerely trying to please them, but somehow, because of lack of communication or something, it becomes in the other way. See, here Jiva Goswami isn't trying to protest. He was his spiritual master. See, he just took it as his instruction for his own purification. See, he never tried to argues that how I was right, means I defeated for your protection only. So he never accepted that. He never done that. And even in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, when Mukunda's case, because Mukunda was associating with Mayavadis sometimes, so Chaitanya Prabhu, during his Mahaprakash Leela, he was not willing to give his attention to Mukunda. So he was just neglecting him. So he himself personally doesn't complain anything. But even though he was just felt bad on that. But other devotees told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, see, why you are not giving attention to Mukunda? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that he is associating with the Mayavadis. So how can I give attention? Then he says that after 10 million births only he can see me. So Mukunda become very ecstatic. At least after 10 million of birth I can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, even that case also Mukunda never tried to protest that at least you should give me darshan. He never forced himself. And the fifth point we can see is hatha, is attacked or killed. When the devotees are trying to attack or kill, the devotee even doesn't retaliate. Best example we can see is of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. So even Prahlad Maharaj was his son, because he was a devotee of Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu cannot tolerate. See, he tried all his best of ways, means many ways to try to kill him, by putting him from the top of hill, putting him in ocean, and putting in the flies of cobra, means snakes, poisonous snakes. But none of these things cannot kill Prahlad Maharaj. So Krishna was personally protecting him. And he never tried to protest or do anything himself. But Lord himself protected him. And as the consequence, what Hiranyakashipu himself was attacked by, means killed by Narasimhadev. So the devotees doesn't retaliate thinking it to be the mercy of the Lord. The Lord has a higher plan for purifying me. They just accept it like that. So even in Prabhupada pastime, we can see that once Prabhupada was giving lecture in Germany, in a very, very big hall. So many people were there. So he was explaining about Varnashrama Dharma. So he was explaining the Brahmanas were first class, then Kshatriyas were second class, like that. So one person from the crowd stood up and he shouted like anything. He told Prabhupada that, what do you think? You are the only first class man and we are all our fourth class. So Prabhupada, just for a moment, became silent and he told that, I am fifth class, the servant of the servant. I am servant of all of you. Actually, tears was coming from his eyes. So we can see that even devotees never retaliate, even insulting. But we can see in another case, when other devotees were insulted, like in indoor Gita Jayanti festival, so Prabhupada was invited for lecture. So that many other Mayavadi sannyasis were also there, and Prabhupada's slot was in the end. So for the whole day, all the Mayavadis were speaking all this Mayavada philosophy. So in the end, when Prabhupada got the chance to speak, he just speak for a few minutes, and then he started the kirtan. So the entire crowd was seeing the first time all the Western devotees doing kirtan, and so ecstatic kirtan. So, and they were also bored by hearing all the Mayavada philosophy from morning till evening. So the devotees started ecstatic kirtan, and some of the devotees jumped into the crowd and started kirtan. So this became very exciting, and all the people were enjoying it. Went on 1 hour almost, that kirtan. So even the organizers felt very successful, at least people were appreciated that. But the next day Prabhupada told that, I want a morning slot, so we don't want to hear all those Mayavada philosophies and other things. But somehow the organizers felt that if Prabhupada speaks in the morning and goes, then all the crowd will also go after his lecture. So just to keep the crowd there, they kept Prabhupada's lecture purposefully in the last. So Prabhupada was not so happy. So he gave the lecture, and after that the kirtan was there. But it was not like the previous day. It was a sober kirtan. The organizers were trying to prompt the devotees, means just do ecstatic like yesterday, come, they are calling them down. And some of the organizers gone and started pulling the dhotis of devotees, and somebody pulled the sari of a Madhaji also. So by seeing this, Prabhupada saw this, he became so furious. He was having kartal in his hand. He just came with a kartal revolving that to hit that person. So we can see that means when the other devotees are offended, the devotee cannot even if the Lord is our Siddhanta also, sometimes Mayavadi speak, the devotees doesn't keep quiet. So they protect, defend these things. Even in, we can see Ambarish Maharaj's case also. Here he has suffered many of these cases. Like he was insulted by Dwarasmani, he was cursed, and he was tried to kill. But Ambarish Maharaj was very cool and he never retaliated. But on the other hand, when Dwarasmani created the demon and he was trying to kill Ambarish Maharaj, when he approached, the Sudarshan Chakra came and he killed the demon, and then he started approaching Dwarasmani. So he became afraid and he started fleeing all the way. Means he tried to hide himself in caves and other places under the ocean, all the places he tried, but Sudarshan Chakra followed him. And he went to Brahmaloka and approached him for protection. So Brahma told he cannot help. Then he approached Lord Shiva. So he also told his helpless position. Then finally he approached Lord Vishnu for protection. He thought it is his Sudarshan Chakra, he may be able to protect. And Lord Vishnu also told he is also helpless in this raya. He has to go out to Ambarish Maharaj himself. So when he comes back and forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj, then only the Sudarshan Chakra withdrawn himself. So here So this is the quality of a devotee, that even though the materialistic people insult or rebuke themselves, that soul, they tell many bad words for themselves to the devotees, they never retaliate, because they know that this bodily, they are beyond this bodily concept of life, then they don't care for all those things. Even Madhavendra Puri says one beautiful verse in this regard. He says, Mugdham mam nikadantu niti nipuna brandham muhur vaitika mandam bandava sanchaya jadadiya muktadara sodara unmattam dhanino viveka chatura kamam mahadambika muktum nakshamate manakapimanu Govinda Pada Spriha. He says, the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I don't mind. Experts in the Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy mammonist may paint me out of as a madman. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. It's a beautiful verse. It's Prabhupada quotes in the second canto, one of the purports. Many times we also see that in a devotee's life also, when they take to devotional service, and especially when they join ashram, so many people says many things like, this is not good, you are supposed to take care of parents, family and all those things. So Madhavendra Puri is saying directly. And we can see that is not that this problem is the reason. From the time immemorial, whenever one takes devotional service, this problem is there. Always the relatives and other people complains. We can see in the case of Madhavacharya also. When he was supposed to take sannyas, his father was pleading him. And Ramanujacharya's case also. See here, they have to somehow trick others and take to the devotional service. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments on this? Kirindraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.